There's new evidence that an Army biodefense laboratory near Washington could possibly be the source of the anthrax spores sent through the mail last fall. The Hartford Courant is reporting that the lab at Fort Detrick, Maryland, lost track of 27 microbe specimens back in the early 1990s. Some of the specimens apparently contained anthrax bacteria. NPR's David Kestenbaum joins me now. David, I gather that some of these specimens were being prepared for microscopic study. What were they used for?
Remember that Fort Detrick has been doing work on vaccines for things like anthrax. So the sort of experiment they might be doing is they would expose rats or some animals to anthrax spores, and then they'd want to look and see how the animals responded. So they would take tissue samples, maybe from the lungs or the lymph system, and prepare them to look at them under a microscope. Anything on a slide would have been in very, very small amounts.
Would these samples have been useful in any way to somebody who wanted to use them as a weapon?
Probably not very useful, because the treatment of a specimen to put on a slide, before you look at something on a slide, you treat it with something like formaldehyde, for instance, which typically kills the bacteria. In fact, it is the great complaint of scientists that when you look at something under an electron microscope, what you're looking at is always dead. On the off chance that, say, an anthrax spore did survive in one of these specimens and you stole the sample, you'd have to then extract it, grow it up, and make it into some fine powder, which is, again, the hard part.
Fort Detrick is one of the Army's main biodefense laboratories. Isn't it surprising that they wouldn't have been keeping better track of these specimens?
I think it is surprising now, and it was surprising back then. A lot of this information came out as part of an investigation that began in 1992, and the pathology lab had just gotten a new boss. His name is Lieutenant Colonel Michael Langford, who said at the time that there was little or no organization at the lab and little or no accountability. So he ordered an inventory review, and that's when these 27 samples were reported missing. On the other hand, if you look at your average academic lab, samples often go missing, and it's just because someone forgot where they put something. And again, if these samples were stolen, they probably didn't contain any live bacteria.
There's another piece of this puzzle, which comes from that same investigation. A woman who worked at the lab apparently said she had seen evidence that someone had been doing unauthorized work over the weekend that could have involved anthrax. What should we make of that?
So the story is that this woman came in one morning and she sat down at a microscope. And with today's microscopes, you often take pictures of the specimen. And so there's a little counter that keeps track of how many pictures have been taken. And the microscopes also can print a label on the image. And she said that the counter had been tampered with and that the label that was set to be imprinted on the images read anthrax 005, A-N-T-R-A-X. But again, people often work at the labs at night, and that odometer is there not for security reasons, but just to keep track of when you would need to replace the light bulb. So it would have been pretty easy to unplug, and it's not clear what it means if someone did unplug it.
All of this, David, happened about 10 years ago. Does it seem like things like anthrax bacteria are under any tighter control today than they were then?
There are some new rules now. When you ship something like anthrax through the mail, it has to be accompanied by documentation. People have to keep track of where it's going and in what amount. Still, it's not controlled to the extent that nuclear material is controlled. There is something called, for instance, a two-man rule, which basically says that no one is allowed to be in a room alone with a significant amount of something like plutonium. And as far as I know, there are still no such rules in place for potentially dangerous biological materials, at least not yet.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
NPR's David Kestenbaum.